Jesus did not come to abolish the law or to do away with it, but to fulfill it. And then he goes into great length describing what he means by fulfilling it. And above all, fulfilling it means that he in his person is the righteous one who has never sinned. And so he has never held a grudge. He has never been angry unjustly. He has never hurt anyone's feelings. He's God. But the law was originally intended to show people how to act like God acts, in justice and in truth and honesty and integrity and self-effacing, self-sacrificing love like it is in the Trinity. All the law that God gave to Israel was to show them how to live in a just society where the poor would be taken care of, there'd be nobody in need, and no judge would ever take a bribe because then there wouldn't have justice. And in God's eyes, he has that special predilection for the poor. Why? Not because they're necessarily holier than anyone else, but because they are in need of God. They are in need of justice, and they don't get it in this life. So the Pharisees and the scribes are lawyers. And some of them were good and some of them weren't. But the thing that Jesus has against them, well, two things really. One is that they concentrate too much on the externals and not on the interior disposition. And most of the sayings we heard in that gospel today are about that. It's not about necessarily doing the right external things. What are your motivations? Go deeper than just the external commandment. And what's in your mind? What's in your heart? Sometimes people can have, they don't do the external sin that is obvious to everyone, but in their heart they've still sinned. And the other thing that he has against the scribes and the Pharisees is that because of their knowledge of the law, because they studied it their whole lives. And one of the things lawyers do, and they're paid to do this, is to find loopholes for people who have power and influence and can pay them well, find loopholes so that they don't necessarily have to obey the law, so that the law doesn't apply to them. But poor people never have the money to pay for that. So the poor people always get it in the neck. Jesus is always for the poor. He's for the outsider, the outcast. So he hangs around with prostitutes and sinners. He doesn't hang around with the Pharisees and the scribes very much. In fact, the nastiest things that Jesus has to say about anybody are to that group, the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus doesn't denigrate anyone else. In fact, he speaks forgivingly to everyone else. But he really is harsh with the scribes and the Pharisees because they are perpetuating that injustice. The chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, they could all get by with all sorts of things, but then they're always pointing to poor people and saying, you have to obey this. Another thing Jesus says about them, you don't enter the kingdom yourself, but you close the door so that others who want to enter can't enter. In the second reading, we've been reading for several weeks now from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And at least for the last 3 weeks, he's talked about wisdom. And a few weeks ago, he said, I don't speak with the eloquence and the wisdom of this world. In fact, the wisdom I speak about is the cross. And in earthly terms, that doesn't sound wise at all. Who would subject themselves to that torture? Who would subject themselves to that vulnerability? But somehow it's the wisdom of God. It's this ironic situation. And he says, one of the reasons I don't speak with human eloquence is because then it might take away the scandal of the cross. It might excuse it away. It might soften it so that it doesn't shock us as much as it should. Because you see, God's way of viewing reality is so different from the way the world views it. And so today we hear Jesus, Paul talking about wisdom once again. And he says, this is a wisdom that was in God before the ages, predestined for those of us who are mature to understand. By mature, he means converted. He means having come to full faith. And we talked several weeks ago about this conversion being a turning around, a changing of mind, radically departing from the way the world sees reality and seeing it the way God sees it instead. And that takes a constant conversion, because the world is constantly giving us another message. The message of the world is loud and it's constant. So Jesus is inviting us into a divine way of being, and it's a lot harder, at least in worldly terms. It's a jarring. It's so radically different from the way the world looks at things. So the way the world looks at murder, for example, well, I can strike you, I can ruin your reputation by lying about you, I can gossip, I can spread lies, but I haven't killed you, so I'm okay. You know, Jesus, he says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, he's saying, they have set the bar pretty low. They're almost criminal in the way that they act. But you, my disciples, I want you to be better than that. I want you to surpass that righteousness. And so it looks like looking deeply into your motivations, into your heart, and recognizing that sin is possible in all sorts of ways that may not be external. The higher righteousness than the scribes and Pharisees looks like a kingdom morality. Another way of saying that is, when you look at it legalistically, like the scribes and Pharisees did, you're looking for the minimum. What's the least I can do and still squeak into the kingdom? And there's something about human nature that likes that. When you're in class, is that going to be on the test? Yeah. Because if it's not, I'm not going to bother memorizing it. What's the least I can do and still get a D? Okay? That's minimalism. And the world loves minimalism. And one of the reasons that Jesus' ethic is so shocking and so different is because Jesus is a maximalist. He's asking the question, what's the most I can do? What's the most creative way that I can love you? What's the most powerful way that I can defend you? Defend your rights. Defend your dignity. Defend your identity as a child of God. And that takes creativity, and it takes work, and it takes prayer. It's not easy. But Jesus is inviting us into that divine way of being, and we want to take it. We want to constantly evaluate our motivations. We want to constantly change our hearts. We want to go deep into the moral ethic of the kingdom. Not the ethic of this world, but the ethic of the kingdom.